Turn to Proverbs 1 and verse 26. Proverbs 1:26. It says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. So this is right in the middle of this third section of Proverbs chapter 1, where wisdom is crying unto God's children and asking and telling them to repent, asking them why they've been waiting so long. And now God is beginning to judge people who have rejected his wisdom. And we see here that the punishment for hating knowledge, which is in verse 22, and then for refusing reproof in verse 25, is calamity. That's what he says there in our verse that we're looking at. I will laugh at your calamity. Calamity is the state or condition of grievous affliction or adversity, deep distress, trouble, or misery arising from some adverse circumstance or event. So calamity is a pretty serious word. And if we look at this and we see this is how seriously God considers his wisdom and the call of the gospel to men to repent and to follow his word, that when they don't do that, then really bad things can and do happen. Calamity would be a word that would be similar to destruction. And we read in Hosea 4:6 that destruction is the result of stubborn ignorance. It's bad to be dumb, but when you're dumb on purpose, then God gets really mad about it. Hosea 4 and verse 6. I remember hearing one of Kent Hovind's talks that he gave, and he was talking about that passage in 2 Peter when he said, for this they are willingly ignorant of, talking about the flood. And he says willingly ignorant. That comes from an old Greek word which means dumb on purpose, which he was kind of just being funny. But yeah, that's pretty much a good description of willing ignorance. Anyway, Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And this verse really matches up well with Proverbs chapter 1, with what the Lord's saying there. So we see that the judgment for repeatedly rejecting wisdom is not just a slap on the hand or a mild reprimand from God, but it's rather, as the definition of calamity shows us, it's grievous affliction, deep distress, and misery. And you think, well, you know, I see lots of people that have rejected wisdom. I don't really see that happening to them. But just wait, I'll give you an example just in a minute, and it'll really drive this one home for you. So this may seem severe to us that God would inflict such calamity on people just because they just kind of dismissed whatever he said to do in his word. But remember what it says in Hebrews 10 and verse 31, that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10 and verse 31. This verse is in the New Testament. Right? Everybody thinks the God of the Old Testament was the big meanie, but the God in the New Testament is just this God of love, and you know, he's so kind and soft and everything. Listen to what Paul says. Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So some people might say, calamity, really? I mean, you really expect me to believe that that's what God's judgment is? But just think about that. Think about the 1/4 of all young adults who are suffering grievous affliction, deep distress, and misery from the sexually transmitted diseases that they have because they didn't hearken to wisdom. They didn't listen to what God's word says to flee fornication. 1/4 of people out there. It's shocking. It's amazing. I forget about it, and then every time I see this statistics, then I think, wow, that's amazing. But right there it is. That's just one example of grievous affliction because people don't listen to what God says. But then it even gets worse because Solomon says here, and God through Solomon, that not only will they receive calamity, but then when they do, God's going to laugh about it. I know that sounds really harsh, but that's what it says there. I will also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. So let's look at the laughing at the calamity first, and then we'll look at the mocking next. We see here that this verse tells us that God has a sense of humor, if you want to call it that. And the Bible does talk about God laughing several times, but it's always a laughter of derision, right? It's never a laughter at a joke or something like that. sometimes I think that God, I was talking to Seth about this the other day, I think that God must have a sense of humor, because you see some of the animals that he's created. Like we saw one of these funny videos and these birds that do this weird dance to attract each other. And I just can't imagine any other reason for that except God just wanted to be like, huh, and look at that, that's kind of funny, you know. But because they could have just, you know, not have to do anything to mate, they just could have, you know, just been attracted to each other for whatever reason. So I do think that God has a sense of humor. But in this case, it's not exactly a sense of humor that you'd want to be on the other end of, that's for sure. Let me just show you a couple of verses here. Psalm 2, 2 through 4. Men love to scorn at God and laugh at God, and we're going to see some of that in this Proverbs chapter 1, but as I will mention later, God will get the last laugh. Psalm 2, 2 through 4. I'm going to start with verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, this is a prophecy of what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ, when Herod and the Gentiles and the people of Israel all gathered together and crucified the Son of God. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. So while they're crucifying the Son of God, they think that they've really accomplished something here against God, and especially the devil who knew what he, you know, who planned and orchestrated the whole thing. He thinks he's finally won the battle, and God's up there getting a belly full. He's just laughing about it. You stupid fools, you don't know what you're doing. You just accomplished your undoing, because it said that Jesus, through death, has destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So they were shooting themselves in the foot, and the Lord was laughing about it. It says he shall have them in derision there in Psalm 2:4. Derision is the action of deriding or laughing to scorn, ridicule, or mockery. So we give you a couple other verses here where we see that the Lord laughs at the wicked who plot against the just. So it wasn't only whenever they were crucifying the Son of God, but whenever the wicked are coming after his children, the Lord is laughing at that too, because he knows what he's got in store for these people. Psalm 37, 12 through 13. Psalm 37, 12 says, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. He says, oh yeah, keep it up. You are just treasuring up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath, as it says there in Romans. I think it's Romans chapter 2. And then Psalm 59 and verse 8. It's another example. I did a study on, it was called The Humanity of Jesus Christ or something like that. I forget the title. But I went through and I showed you that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, that he was a man like we were. He experienced all the same emotions as we did. And I don't doubt that he experienced laughter, but you never read about it in the Bible. You never read about Jesus laughing. He's called a man of sorrows. So I'm sure he laughed. He's like us, right? But the Bible didn't record that because that was not an important part of his life. Whereas we consider that a really important part of our lives. That was not important in the Bible. Show me where the apostles laughed, you know, where they were telling jokes. I'm not saying it's wrong to do so, but what was their main focus, right? Their life was not all about leisure and entertainment and that kind of thing. They were focused on the serious things of God. Psalm 59 and verse 8. But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Now this might seem cruel to us that God would laugh at the anguish of sinners, even though they did bring it upon themselves. That's what's happening there in Romans chapter 1. But you know, these same people, just remember, they set at naught God's counsel. Proverbs 1:25. Which to set at naught means to scorn. And this is basically a synonym, and I defined that word here a week or two ago when we were on that verse. But Proverbs 1, verse 25, he says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. In other words, you scorned at my word. You scorned at my commandments. So they scorn at God. Okay, God scorns back. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, how could we fault God for something that we do to him? he's basically responding in kind. He's answering a fool according to his folly, lest he should be wise in his own conceit. Proverbs 26 and verse 5. And remember that Jesus Christ, who's called the wisdom of God, when he walked the earth, and I think we looked at this verse a week or two ago, men laughed him to scorn. Remember it says that in Mark 9, 24, when Jesus says she's not dead but sleepeth, and they laughed him to scorn. They laugh at him. God says, ha, I'll get the last laugh. I'll laugh at you. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 25, Luke 6:25, that those that laugh now are going to weep later, and those that weep now are going to laugh later. Jesus was a man of sorrows. He's not crying now. Luke 6 and verse 25, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. The only heaven that the children of the devil get is this life. And the only hell that the children of God get is this life. Right? This is our hell. This is their heaven. The next life is our heaven and their hell. God will get the last laugh.
Were we told somewhere that, or maybe we just deduced it from these types of verses, but it does, doesn't it say somewhere that God had those people in derision that were stoning Naboth so that Ahab could get his vineyard?
You could be right. I don't remember. It could be. No, it could be. And then he says, the last part of this verse, I will mock when your fear cometh. So not only is God going to laugh at those that despise his word, but he's going to mock them. And you think, most people, when they think about God, they don't think about him laughing at people, like laughing, you know, to deride them. And they certainly don't think about him mocking them. But yet, this is what it says. To mock is to hold up to ridicule, to deride, to assail with scornful words or gestures. This just shows us that God takes his word very seriously. When men just despise it and disregard it, God is not just indifferent about that. God is angry about it, and to the point where he's going to make fun of you. And whenever you fall and get the just punishment that you deserve, that we deserve, he's going to be making fun of you. Notice another thing. It says there that God will mock when your fear cometh, not if your fear cometh. See, people that reject wisdom, their fear will come. Right? It's not that it might come, it will. And God says, when it does, I'll mock. The judgment that follows the rejection of God's reproof is not a possibility, but a promise. And if it doesn't happen in this life, it's going to happen in the next. So, that, you know, we can take comfort in that when we see people that mistreat good people, people that scorn the Lord Jesus Christ, make fun of him, use his name in vain. They will get theirs. People that are responsible for the mass murder of people like some of these wicked people have done over the years, and people like that, they'll get what's coming to them. Those who delight in scorning and mocking God's judgments will one day be suffering under severe adversity only to look up to God in the heavens, who will be howling with laughter and shooting out his lip in ridicule of them. And that takes us to Proverbs 1 and verse 27.